Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam.
And I'm Braden.
And today we're here to do an episode on what on this one quality, this imperishable quality that God desires woman to possess. And we're going to look at God's word and see what it is. There's similar overlaps on how it also applies to all mankind. But this specific one, we are going to tie it directly to woman as God instructs. So with that, let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you, O God, that is your will that we seek to perform. Father, it is you who guide us into holiness and truth. Father, it is you who does the impossible work in our lives. Father, I pray that people will simply turn to your word. They'll seek to understand what you say, and they'll put aside the traditions and the teachings of men that teach impartiality and not in full truth, that pick and choose what to apply and what not. Bless the reading of your word, O Father. Instruct us. Father, those who humble themselves, open their eyes and ears and let them come to the freedom in Christ Jesus, the freedom from sin, but not as man teaches, but as you teach, free from walking and committing sin, to now live and walk in light and holiness as you, O God, are light, and as you, O God, are holy. I thank you, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for this one, one of the things I want to start with is I want to look in 1 Peter. Now, people who have listened to a lot of the podcasts I talk, I'll reference Peter a lot. Peter talks about the true grace of God that we're to be standing firm in. He points that out at the end of 1 Peter in chapter 5. I think it's verse 10 or 12. But a lot of people don't understand what that is. We've done many episodes on that, and it's come up. But today I want to focus on one aspect for women. You know, in the body that we have, that we are a part of here, really the body of Christ, and I'll say the local body of Christ, there's some women who have come to the truth. Some have believing husbands. Some don't have believing husbands. It can be very difficult and challenging when you're unequally yoked, and particularly for a woman. So today I want to encourage all the godly women out there and other women who are seeking the truth and want to be the godly woman that God approves of your conduct and your behavior, not because it's your works, but because a demonstration and proof of the power of God in you, the proof that God changed you. And I actually am going to read a little bit about the grace of God because it leads right into the woman. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. In verse 19, it says, "For this is grace." Now, some of your translations might not say that. It is the Greek word for grace that you find in other places in the Bible. But many translations don't translate it that. They like to translate it differently. Reality is, it says, "This is grace." What is grace? "If for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." When they bear up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. What does verse 20 say?
"For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God."
And the word is, this is grace with God. You see, if you still commit sin, and you suffer, there's no honor before God for that. If you endure it patiently, that doesn't find grace with God. It's when you can win face with a temptation and trial, suffer righteously. When you can bear up under that, when people are persecuting you unjustly, and you endure, that is grace with God. And then he tells us what purpose you have been called for. Have you heard of this purpose that God says, what you have been called for? All you who are listening, this is supposed to be your purpose. Listen up very carefully. Braden, what is their purpose? What is your purpose? What is my purpose?
For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously.
So most people agree, well, yeah, that's what Jesus did. But you know the next words out of their mouth typically? But that can't be me. I can't do that. Right? Oh, Jesus can do that, but I can't do that. So many people, when they look at that, they'll say, well, yeah, that's Jesus's example. But did you not listen to verse 21? You have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. You know, Braden, if you ask most people, why did Christ suffer for you? What will they say?
For my sins.
They'll say, for my sins. Well, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's part of it. But what's the bigger goal? People, what's the bigger idea? He didn't just suffer for your sin to pay the penalty. He paid the penalty for the whole world. The whole world doesn't benefit. Why did he suffer for your sins? So, and why did he leave that example for you to suffer and commit no sin? So that you can now do the same thing. Do you do the same thing? Did you not know that Jesus suffered for you so that he would leave you the example that you're to walk in? To commit no sin? To have no deceit in your mouth? While being reviled, you do not revile in return. While suffering, you utter no threats. Is that what you have been taught? Is that the life that you live? Then, dear brother or sister, you've been deceived. You have not been taught the whole truth. That is why your life is really, frankly, no more different than the world. That is why many of the people in the world can live and walk in as much righteousness as you walk in. That is why you continue to struggle with some of the many of the same sins that the world and the moral atheist struggles with. Do you know why Jesus died and bore your sins on his body on the cross in verse 24? So that what? So that we would what?
That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed.
So that we, having died to sin, now most people don't even know what it means to truly die to sin. They know, well, Jesus died for my sins. I say, yeah, but do you know that you're also supposed to be dead to sin? You're supposed to be crucified to sin? You're supposed to be spiritually baptized into his death? Do you know what that means, people? Listen to the episode we did on Romans chapter 6. Listen to the episode we did on overcoming sin, spiritually crucified and baptized. Listen to those episodes. Listen and be instructed by the word of God. Now, I wanted to cover that first, because after this, as it goes on, it says, in the same way, in chapter 3, verse 1, in the same way, this suffering, this overcoming. Braden, go ahead and read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear.
That's right. So, woman, if you claim to be a godly woman and you have an unbelieving husband, do you nag him? Do you complain? Well, then I can tell you right now that is not the Spirit of God. So again, a godly woman wins a husband without a word. This is how the Spirit of God works and leads a godly woman. So for you women out there, if you're unable to do that, I'll tell you why. It's because you don't possess this imperishable quality that God desires you to possess. What does God say their adornment should be in verse 3 and 4?
Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
You see, many women are concerned about their outward appearance. Many women are concerned about what they look like outwardly, what clothes they wear, how their hair looks, what jewelry that they have. God could care less about that. That's not what God looks at. God looks at the hidden person of the heart. The question is, have you received the new heart and the new spirit? Listen to the episode we did on the new heart, the new spirit. We did 6 parts on that. You see, that's what God wants you to possess, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, God desires all men, all mankind, to get the new heart, the new spirit. For a woman, the Spirit of God will lead you to behave this way towards your husband, even if he's a rebellious man. What does he say about the woman, the other holy woman of olden days in verse 5 and 6?
For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror.
That's right. This is how the holy woman who hoped in God in former times, this is how they adorned themselves. This is what God's ways are. This is what God says. But separate from any of that, all people are to be living a certain way. As he continues in verse 8, when he says, finally, all of you be of one mind, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Who is the person that inherits the blessing? How are they to be living in verse 10 and 11?
For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
You can't still have sin in your life. That's evil. The question is, have you ever been cleansed? Have you been freed? God desires all mankind to receive the new heart and the new spirit. When a woman puts it on, it becomes the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a quiet and gentle spirit. They're then able to live the godly life that God desires woman to live. Other instructions, since we're here in the area, Titus. Titus chapter 2, as I recall, also gives instruction for women. What does it say in chapter 2, verse 3 through 5?
The older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior.
Reverent in their behavior.
Not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
That's right. Teachers of who? The young woman. To teach the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children. To teach and instruct the young woman to be sensible, pure. Workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. People who rebel against the word of God, they dishonor the word of God. I know some churches out there, they say, oh yeah, women, they can be teachers of men or pastors or leaders of men. I'm sorry, that's a lie of the devil. That's not true. Any godly woman with the Spirit of God in them is not going to behave so foolishly or attempt to pursue such things. They'll pursue the things that God says they're to be pursuing. One of the passages I think of is Titus. Not Titus, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is coming to mind. I want to go to that real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2. What does he say in verse 9?
In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works.
Ah, you see, a godly woman, again, isn't concerned about this obsession with outward looks and appearance. What they adorn themselves with is the good works of God. Those are the true women that are pursuing godliness in the eyes of God and have attained to it. But much of the women of the world today, they're obsessed with how they look. Not only that, there are very few of, practically none of the women today dressed modestly. They aren't being led by the Spirit of God, I can assure you that. What about teaching?
Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence.
Why?
For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression.
See, people who want to disagree and argue, you're arguing against God. Go take up your argument with God. It's based upon the order of creation and what God established. Now, God's not contradicting himself. Earlier we read women are to teach. Yes, younger women, other women, and children. But not men. You must pay attention to all the words of God. You want to be contentious and argue? You'll find yourself in rebellion against God. I assure you, it will not go well on the day of judgment for you. But in summary, the key and the only way for any member of the body to accept their role and function in the family of God is to humbly submit yourself and receive the new heart and the new spirit, and you will walk in the ways of God. You will embrace the ways of God. God will remove all that which is contrary in your mind and your desires and your thoughts. He will remove it, and he will replace it with his desire. Is that what you want? You can have that. You can be free. You can live a life with an easy yoke, with power, even if you have an unbelieving spouse. But you must submit to God's truth. For the women who are listening today, and any men that are listening, we have many people in our body that you can speak to who have received a new heart and new spirit. There's women who can also share their stories. I encourage the other women who are listening to reach out to them. Also, a message that I want to pass on that God instructed me to pass on to Deborah. We had prayed for you a while ago, and I know that you've been healed. God informed me of that. God wants to encourage you to share your testimony. Share the work that God is doing in your life. Now, I know that you're still working and desiring, and you still have much to learn and to submit to receive the new heart and the new spirit. I want to encourage you to search the scripture, to be diligent, to immerse yourself in them. But I also want you to encourage you to reach out to some of the other women that have gone through and have experienced these things and have power. You can email us. The email is listed there. And we can have one of the women reach out to you. And this goes with anybody. So with that, I'd like to close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. It is good. Father, it is only when someone submits to your word and your truth, without wavering, without doubting, but having full faith and assurance that what you say, O Father, is true. What you say is what we must submit to. What you say is the faith that we must have when we come to you in prayer. It is that faith that you will honor when we come in the truth of what you say. I pray, O God, that people understand this and that they come in this truth and that you set them free. Father, I pray by your Spirit you'll motivate and encourage some to reach out, to receive additional encouragement and help as they continue to seek you in their walk, as they're trying to find you, that they can escape the tiring life and they can find true power and freedom and purpose. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.